The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco. If you are ready to take the next steps to become inspired, empowered, and motivated to be better equipped for success, then stay tuned. Each week, we will address relevant topics for women to spark your career and life growth, featuring extraordinary women, respected corporate leaders and entrepreneurs and thought leaders, to help share tips and tools and strategies for your personal and professional success. Before we get started with today's show, I just want to mention that the Chicago is having a Chicago Women's Conference on April 19th, 2013 at the Willis Tower in Chicago, Illinois, featuring national and internationally respected leaders and workshop leaders and speakers offering practical solutions to move you from ideas to action. You can reach the Chicago Women's Conference at 800-881-7809 or www.chicagowomensconference.com. Well, I am very excited about our first guest today. Our first guest is Deborah Fine, and she is the author of a best-selling book called The Fine Art of Small Talk, and she is one dynamic lady. Deborah has some best-selling books. One of them is The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Start a Conversation, Keep It Going, Build Rapport, and Leave a Positive Impression. She has most recent on the Fine Art series, The Fine Art of Big Talk, How to Win Clients, Deliver Great Presentations, and Solve Conflicts at Work. Both books have been translated and published in 20 different countries. Her recent media appearance has been included in the Today Show, CNN, The Early Show, and NPR Morning Edition. Welcome, Deborah.
It's so great to be on your show, Deanne, and I have met you face-to-face, which is really different. You get interviewed. I'm sure you've been in the same boat, and you've never met this person, and you never will.
I know.
And here you are, somebody that I feel connected to and had face-to-face time, which was wonderful, and know of your work and all you do, and was able to read your blog, and I'm pretty impressed by this women's conference. I wish I could attend or be a part of it. You put that whole thing together. You were the leader on it, aren't you?
I'm one of them, yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I am really excited to have you on this show. I mean, when we were putting the show together, you were the first person that came to mind because you have such an interesting background, and you put this book together, which happens to be at my desk all the time. And whenever I'm going to go network somewhere, I grab my small talk book, The Fine Art of Small Talk, and I'm always flipping through it and just kind of keeping things in the forefront of my brain. But our audience doesn't know anything about you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and some of your qualifications to teach the fine art of small talk?
Yeah, really. People are wondering, well, number one, why would anybody want to teach that? I mean, why is that important? And I get that, all you listening audience, in that I used to be an engineer. So any of you engineers out there really get what I'm talking about. But I believe that fourth grade teachers, financial people, stay-at-home moms, you know, all kinds of women in all kinds of roles are many of them are like me. Some of them are like you, Deanne, born with the gift of gab. And then there's the rest of us. And we're sort of standing over in the corner by ourselves watching, you know, everybody else seem to be able to do this. You know, I would walk in a room and I'd see all you clusters of people and just wonder, how do they do that? So I come from an engineering education and background. And a few years, you know, I left engineering, and you don't need to hear all the middle stuff, but I had this idea that I learned to do this. I made myself learn how to do conversation in that I needed to build community. I was isolated at one time in my life, and I just didn't know how to do it, and I finally was motivated to do it. I wanted to make friends. I wanted to feel connected to a community. So I would observe people like you, and I did it in my own world. Through observation, I learned how to chit-chat with people and start relationships and build friendships. And then I had this idea that maybe there were other dorky people like me that would need to learn how to do this. And what I discovered, which I didn't know initially, is that I had always thought engineers like me were dorky, but I learned that lawyers, no matter how brilliant they may be, they still have to be rainmakers and bring in billable hours. And if you don't have no conversation skills, you're not going to be good at being a rainmaker. So once I figured that part out, I spent a year's worth of time on research, everything from the icebreaker, what do you say to engage someone in conversation, to exiting a conversation. How do you get away from somebody that's holding you hostage and going on and on about this project that, you know, enough was enough after the first 2 minutes? And how do you get away from them so that you don't lie to them, but get away from them so they can't hold us hostage? So, and everything in between, you know, I researched active listening skills, conversation killers to avoid, even how to master introductions and remember people's names. So most of the work that I do now is as a keynoter or often workshops, and most of the audiences are either technically oriented, and by that I mean finance, real estate, engineering, IT, that type of thing, law, and or a lot of spousal programs because mm-hmm. You know, all of us who've ever been somebody's partner or spouse have been dragged to some horrible event where all he or she talks about is their work and the work jargon, and we're sort of left out there to just hang up and dry. And so I teach skills for that as well. So that's, you know, I've written these books. I'm mostly a motivational speaker or infotainment, I think they call people like us now, huh, Deanne? And so that's how I got my start about 19 years ago, and I'm glad to say it's been a wonderful and growing experience.
Well, I'll tell you, this book is fantastic. So
why don't you
help our listeners with understanding why it's important to learn small talk and how they can use it in the business setting?
I love that question because that really faces what I threw out there in the beginning is, why would anybody want to learn how to do that? And for goodness sake, how can you make a living teaching it? It seems like such a waste of saliva. So why is it important, small talk? Because we've demeaned it forever. And I really believe this in my heart now, that small talk is the appetizer for any relationship. So what I mean by that is, let's say you and I, and we met on a business setting, our interaction. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if it was by, I think it was by phone rather than email. But nonetheless,
right.
You called to ask me if I could do something, and I responded. Okay, so a lot of relationships start that way, okay, especially in business. There's a business conversation. It could be a provision of service. It could be the selling of a widget. It could be the delivery of a presentation, the negotiation of a contract, the interview for a job. It could be any of those things. And it starts with that. But if you want to build a relationship with someone, it has to go back to small talk, or you will not develop a business friendship. You will probably conduct business. Will you get referrals? Will you gain visibility? Will you become someone who is their trusted advisor? I doubt it. So now let's look at it as the appetizer. So let's say this person doesn't call you for business. Doesn't email you. You don't run into them or start a negotiation with them. Most relationships begin with a small talk. You're sitting with people at a table of eight. You are mingling at some reception before the awards program. You go to an industry conference. Okay. If you have conversations with people about real things outside of business, just to get started, and I can give you tips on business too. If it starts with small talk and then develops into business, you will develop a business friendship. So I say small talk is the appetizer for any relationship. Even those of you who might be thinking of romance right now, hey, it starts with small talk, and then it ultimately evolves into romance or not. But it starts
That's an
there.
It's a good analogy. I want to throw one thought at you. So let's say, you know, people, if they have an opportunity to meet with the CEO of a company or senior vice president, you know, a lot of times people don't know what to say when they have these, what I call these snapshot moments with those high-level executives. What kinds of things can you say to get that conversation started with someone like
setting,
an executive?
Deanne.
Pardon me?
Tell me the setting with this C-level.
Okay, the setting is let's say you see the executive who's walking through your department. And he's stopping by every desk and just saying hello, just greeting people.
Okay. If it is a senior level, C-level person, and you either, if that's the situation what you just described, he or she's walking through the work environment, and or we're at, the holiday party, and or at the in an auditorium waiting for the program to begin for right? Okay, this is what I always say. Okay, you're not necessarily going to find an icebreaker that engages them. This is the key, though, to gain visibility within an organization. You do not wait for him or her to come to you. Okay? You need to walk up, extend your hand. I don't mean you, of course, but I mean our audience. Walk up and say, even if I see you at a party and you're like the CEO of United Airlines, okay? Got it? Okay, I'm in Chicago. You're the CEO. I see you over there either because I recognize your picture or I've met you before. All I do is walk up to you. Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt because I guarantee you people are around him or her. Okay, excuse me. I just want to introduce myself. I'm Deborah Fine. I just saw that article, da-da-da. It's good to meet you. That's all you need to do. If it's somebody that you work for, it's your boss, hi, hope your trip in from the home office was great. Give them the gift of your name. If you don't, if you're not absolutely certain they remember your name, give the gift of your name. Say hello to them and do not expect engagement. Now, because you went up to them, you'll register. You've hit the radar, okay? You won't become what I used to be, the mouse. I was never noticed when I was an engineer. You know why? Because I was always standing over there hoping you'd come up and talk to me. And, of course, nobody ever did because I was so darn quiet. I was over in the corner. Okay, now, 50% of the time, they'll just say, nice to meet you, thanks for saying hello, or just whatever, and they'll go back to whatever they were talking about. That's the way it is, okay? 50% of the time, they'll say, so tell me how's it going with your work here for us. One or the other will happen. It's not rejection if they don't include you, but your number one goal should be just to be on their radar. Now, in that kind of situation, they have an agenda. If they're walking down the hall, if they're going to a meeting, if they're whatever, they have an agenda. And for you to expect to be able to engage someone like that in conversation is you're really rolling the dice, in my opinion. I mean, there's certain things, the best conversation starter for that or any time is to use what I call free information. Free information is the information we have that's free that we know about the occasion or location. So let's pretend we're at the office, okay, and he's walking through saying hi to people, and it's Thursday, or Monday, it's almost easy. You know, tell me what kinds of things you had going on over the weekend. But it's not really that easy because if he has an agenda, it's going to be hard to stop him to engage him. But if he stops and gives you eye contact and says, hey, Deborah, how have you been? Here's the real key. If they say hello to you, you better have a darn good answer. And that means a sentence, not a one-word answer, which we can go into later. But I don't know that I've answered your question, but I don't. People think that they can engage people like that. People like that are sick of people clinging to them and attacking them.
Well, that's good information.
I mean, would you agree with that? You're working with C-level people.
Yeah. Usually I have some article that I had just read that I try to start a conversation around. Maybe it's some Harvard Business Review article that they might have read, or if I had seen them in a paper, I'll mention that paper.
Okay, but that means you're sitting across from them ready to tell them about something. You're going to have a business conversation, right?
Well, I just always have those things ready.
No, but follow me. Timing is everything. Are you telling me that somebody's at you're at some after-hours event at the chamber, and you see the CEO from the, SKH Finance out there, and she's walking around to saying hello to people, and all she's doing is saying hello. She's not stopping for conversation. And she just says, hey, good to see you, and you say, you're ready to engage her in conversation. I mean, at a party maybe, but not at the office.
Yeah, it depends.
But if I'm in a party, I agree with you. If I'm in a networking event, I walk in prepared too with everything. I find out who's going to be there, and I find out everything on Google or LinkedIn about them to start conversations. But I guess I missed.
I want to get into that after the break. We have to go to a break.
Okay.
And after the break, I want to talk about what do you need to prepare ahead of time, and then actually give us some conversation starters and how to get those started. So why don't we just break away here, and we'll come back in just a few seconds.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Want the inside scoop about what's going on in the social networks of art and entertainment? Tune in to Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com. We'll talk to the top professionals in the entertainment industry and find out what they're working on and what's next. Your host is James Barber, who has his finger on the pulse of the arts and entertainment world. Star Power Hour, brought to you by 4Talent.com, live every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Wealth Solutions for the 99% is a weekly talk show focused on helping you develop and execute a game plan to build wealth. Your host, Paul LaJoy, who built a $50 million plus company in less than 5 years, believes it's impossible to be poor in America, and he'll show you why with his innovative strategies. Joining Paul as co-host is radio personality Kim Reed, an experienced entrepreneur and corporate leader who's known as the Corporatepreneur. The show is upbeat, fun, and informative. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, welcome back. We are talking with Deborah Fine, the author of the best-selling book, The Fine Art of Small Talk, How to Get a Conversation Started, Keep It Going, and Building Networking Skills Within Leaving a Positive Impression. Deborah, welcome on back.
Thank you so much. I want to give you my favorite icebreaker, though.
Yeah, I want to talk about icebreakers.
The best way I know to get people started, if you're having a meal with them, if you're waiting for on a board and waiting for the meeting to begin at the board meeting, if you're sitting with your boss in a relaxed situation where you're waiting and if they don't have an agenda, what I say to people is, what keeps you busy outside of work? And that's the best way I know to get to know something about you without being too personal. I would never ask someone, are you married? Do you have any kids? I think that's completely out of line. But to ask what keeps them busy outside of work is a way to learn about them. It always works.
That's a great conversation starter.
Right.
Let's say you're at a networking event. That was a really good – I really like that one. What's another one besides just saying, what do you do?
Well, I never do that, but the free information about a case and location where I was headed with that is I always ask, what other organizations they're involved with if I meet them at an association or industry conference, because the free information I have is they're at least attending one. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The free information I have is that they are either going to hear one of these presentations or have heard one. Tell me about the program you've already seen today, depending on what time of day it is. What did you mm-hmm. see in the exhibit hall that caught your interest? Something like along those lines. And then one of my favorites is, what got you interested in this area of expertise?
Oh, that's good. I've got another one for you. Last night I was speaking at a meeting, and I had this person come up to me, and I could not break away from this guy. He was
right.
Just driving me crazy. What are some ways that I can nicely break away without saying, you are bugging me?
Doing that nicely? You give him the white flag, or at least that's what I call it. They use it in car racing. It indicates to the drivers they have one more lap and then it's over. So now we're going to do that with people in conversation. And we're going to give him the white flag. Wow, it sounds like you're passionate about your work. Whatever he was going on and on about, it sounds like you're really interested. I want to make sure to get with everybody here that wants to talk to me now that my presentation's over. I've only got about a minute left, so is there anything else that you think I should know before I take off? You're letting him know this is almost over. Somebody goes on and on about their brilliant 8-year-old. Wow, you sound like your child sounds absolutely amazing. I want to hear what you think the number one ingredient is of, you know, of raising such a successful child before I take off because I need to get to a meeting and I'm not prepared yet. I mean, you let him know this is almost over and let him get out of it.
Oh,
so wind
him
down. And then it's okay when he keeps talking to say, you know, as I said, I need to make sure I meet with the other audience members that may want to talk to me.
Oh, I really like that a lot.
Oh,
wish I had had that last night.
Yeah, well, you know, if you can't get away from somebody, all you listeners out there, if you really can't get away from them, it's your mother-in-law, it's your boss, it's your client, this is what you say. Hey, you want to join me? Let's go get some coffee. You want to join me? I want to make sure I've met with everybody here that wants to talk to me. And let them either pass or join you, but at least you're moving around the room again. Because if you're stuck there held hostage, that's terrible.
It is. What are some conversation killers?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what women do a lot. Here's one for us, you know, your listeners out there. We all think men do this. Men top each other. They'll say, oh, you can't believe what's going on in the oil and gas industry now. You know, even though it's booming, our resources have been cut back, and now we can't find enough staffing for, you know, the rigs and all that. And then you'll hear this other person say, oh, that's nothing. You should see what's been going on in the legal field. We've got to deal with this and this. And so they top each other, right? They top. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's macho. They top each other. This is what women do. We're like famous at it. So, Dina, how have you been? Oh, great, Deborah. I went on a trip, went on a cruise. It was just, you know, went around the world on a cruise. And this is what women will do. They'll match each other. I go, oh, really, Dina? Because I went on one of those all around the world flights to whatever. Then I stopped in Paris and I bought these clothes and I did this. And we met. Somebody tells us they have kids and they have a son who played football. And before I can keep my mouth shut, I go, oh, my son played football. You know what, Deborah? You know your son played football, okay? Why don't you just be quiet for once in your life, and instead of matching this woman, let her talk, show an interest in her, and then bring up the commonality. But too many of us match about our jobs, about our work, about our kids, before we let the other person talk.
Oh,
stop
sure.
It. Oh, we all do it. As soon, I mean, I have to literally take my lips and just screw them shut so I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, you know, I spoke to this audience last night. Oh, I spoke to an audience last night. Really, Deborah? Because you knew that. Why can't we learn about what audience you spoke to, what it was like for her, what did you walk away with, what was the learning? I mean, come on. Let's focus on the other person instead of you all the time, Deborah.
That's really good. You know, one of the other things that I want to cover while we still have some few minutes is being prepared when you're walking into networking events or being prepared when you're going to a party. What are
your
thoughts on that?
Sound like the master of that, just based on what you said earlier to me. And I'm really impressed by you because that means you strategize and that means you're a planner. And that's what good conversation and networking is all about. So I turn it into a task. I recommend everybody turn it into a task unless it comes easily. Decide how many people you're going to talk to that are new. Because there's so much power meeting new people. So I'm going to meet 3 new people, 5 new people, whatever. And if this is hard for you, then take care of your task, and then you can go have a drink, right? Whatever. Just do what you said you're going to do. Go over the roster. Find out who you're going to talk to. If you can, in advance, talk to them. Walk in with 3 things to talk about. The worst time to think of something to talk about is when there's nothing to talk about. So do exactly what Deanne said, okay? Be prepared to talk about current events. Be prepared to talk about news in their business, in their industry. Be prepared to talk about them. If you know, either had Google alerts for them or did LinkedIn research or do whatever. Be prepared to know what you've already learned about them, okay? If you know that this person's a tennis player or went on holiday last year as a movie addict, okay, I hope you took notes about that the last time you talked to them so that when you run into them again or you know you're going to see them, you say to them, oh, so what was your favorite movie in 2012? I know you really love movies. So you can't expect to remember all that stuff when you engage with that person on the phone or in person. So that's what I call being prepared.
Is it rude to take notes when you're talking to people?
I mean, you know, if I'm sitting across a conference table from you, I'll take notes all the time, and you won't realize that I'm taking notes about your personal life, everything you're disclosing. You'll think I'm just taking notes because I'm sitting across from a conference table and I'm just one of those people that I'm whatever. But I'm not going to do it at a networking event when you're holding a drink or a cup of coffee. I feel like, you know, a weirdo.
All right.
So when I leave, that's when I write it down. But on the other hand, before I walk into a room or a meeting, a party, mm-hmm. a function, a networking event, I just I take a deep breath, either in my car, if that's the case, or just whatever, in the lobby, take a deep breath and think. It only takes 60 seconds. It's not like an hour of cardio, folks. 60 seconds to come up with three things to talk about. Like I said, the worst time to come up with something is when you have nothing to talk about.
That's really good. Yeah, I think it's really important to be prepared, ahead of time. You know, I always look at who am I going to meet at this meeting or this party ahead of time,
right,
and who do I want to meet, and be prepared with some questions and really being strategic around who are those people that I really want to make sure I focus on.
Right. But here, on the other hand, when somebody is either an acquaintance in particular would say, so how have you been? How's work, or how's the project, or how's your life, or what's been going on? Too many of us give one-word answers to that. We see people at our association events every month, and we just respond with one-word answers. This is your opportunity to give a sentence in response. It's what I call playing the conversation game.
Mm-hmm.
You must give somebody something to talk about with you, or they can't connect. So if somebody says to me, how have you been? I don't say fine, unless I don't want to talk to them. Oh, then I'll say fine, and I'll keep walking. But if you say, how have you been, Deborah? I am prepared with things to respond with, not just questions to ask, but to play the conversation game. Because if you're not, you won't connect with people. So if somebody says, how's it going? I strategically might say, well, I'm looking forward to, in March, I'm doing a lot of work in for an oil and gas company. So I'm really looking forward to that. Now, they may say, well, that's interesting, and start talking about themselves or just keep walking, right? Or
mm-hmm.
they'll say, well, what oil and gas company, or what kind of work do you do for oil and gas companies? Okay? But if I didn't give them that, what would they have to talk about with me?
Sure.
Did I give an elevator speech and start selling myself? I did not. I gave one sentence. Did I brag about my kids and their GPAs? No. So be prepared, folks. When somebody says, how's your year been? You don't say pretty good or busy. I mean, that's great, but you didn't help me keep talking to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you have to give them something.
But it gets, you know, it's not that we're, most of us are just so lazy or we're on automatic pilot. When somebody says, what's been going on, what do most of us say? Nothing. Not much.
All right.
Why?
Yeah.
Why do we do that? I'll tell you why we do it. Because we're so darn busy, we can't even think of what's been going on. Or we're not sure the question is genuine. When somebody says, what's been going on, Deborah, and I want to connect with them, I'm prepared with something to talk about. I just finished a good book. I just I'm working on my third book for my business. I'm looking forward to a visit from my son. Anything to get this conversation going. So and it's not bragging. It's not mushy. I don't tell you about my aches and pains. I'm just inviting you into my world by disclosing one thing about myself, my work or my personal life, in a sense, in hopes that that will engage you and we can connect. And that is just as important as being prepared with articles and things to ask questions about.
Now, do we only have about 1 minute left.
Uh-oh.
Tips that you would like to suggest for people to know ahead of time?
Wow, I mean,
real quickie,
No, go through that roster if you can, or review in your mind who's going to be there, because if you don't know their names, that's half the battle.
Okay.
And unless they have really great name tags, but they see you looking. So remind yourself who you're going to see so you can remember their names. That's
right.
Another thing that's really handy and will impress the heck out of people if you know their name.
Well, we're running out of time here, but Deborah, I want to just mention, how do people get a hold of your book? How do people find you?
I mean, it's in the bookstores, but it's, of course, said Amazon as well. So my website, if they have any interest in learning more, is deborafine.com, deborafine.com, and if you just Google my name, I'm glad to say it. I'll be on the first page over and over and over again.
And that's the fine art of small talk.
That's
Deborah
right.
Fine. You know,
I
personally endorse this book. I just think it's just the cat's meow. I think it's the best thing in the world as far as learning how to small talk. And even those of us who like to talk still need help with that. We've been talking with Deborah Fine. And, Deborah, I'd like to thank you very much for being part of our show today. After break, we'll be coming back. We'll be talking about how do you manage the four generations in the workplace. So, and come back in just a few minutes.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
When you make decisions, do you ever find yourself in doubt? Are you trying to figure out what's right with you? Are you ready to truly change your life? Listen for the Access Consciousness Radio Show with the founders of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Heer. Consciousness is all about including everything and judging nothing. Our program will help you break free from your personal limitations and enhance positive change in all areas of your life. Tune in to Access Consciousness Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
The challenges facing our teens today mean that more than ever, we need to be there to support them and encourage them. The Dr. STEM Show is here to provide discussions about topics that will help promote healthy relationships, self-image, and success for teens, parents, and the community. Our young people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. The Dr. STEM Show, hosted by Dr. STEM Malatini, will foster these discussions and encourage your participation. Listen every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 9 p.m. GMT on Voice America Empowerment.
We're on Facebook, along with some of the greatest minds of the world, and that includes you. Visit us on Facebook at Voice America Empowerment.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women. We just had a wonderful conversation with Deborah Fine. In the second half of this hour, I want to talk to you about managing the four generations in the workplace. I am known as the Gen X biz coach, and I got that term because when I was teaching at San Jose State University, I noticed that my college students were much different than I was. I noticed that they studied different, they communicated different, and they just interacted different. The way they synthesized the information that I was teaching them was very different than I was. So I started studying this new generation of student. And back in 1992, I published my first paper, actually, for other educators on how to connect with the new generation of student. Well, then after a little while, I jumped ship, and I left academia and went into the corporate world. And dag nabbit, if I didn't have the same generational issues that we're now facing managers in the workplace. So I continued to research and study the new generations in the workplace. And since then, I've put together a coaching program, which has won top awards with Training Magazine's Top 100. And so I want to just talk to you a little bit about managing the four generations in the workplace, because for the first time, we do have in this country four different generations in the workplace. We have our traditionalists, which were born 1922 to 1945. So there's about 3%, 2 to 3% of that group in the workplace. We have our baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. And we have about anywhere from 38 to 40%. That group is beginning to retire, but we still have a fair number of them in the workplace. We have Generation X, born 1965 to 1980, and that group is hanging right in there at 44% in the workplace. And then we have our Gen Ys, or our millennials, as they prefer to be called, born in 1981 to about year 2000. So that group is between 13 and 18%. As the baby boomers are retiring, the millennials and the Gen Y group is increasing in our workplace. And all four of those different groups definitely see the world in a different way. So some of the problems that managers are facing are things like increased turnover. You know, we could always, you know, when we have really these top-notch key employees, somehow we're not always able to keep them. We're really good at keeping the employees that we'd love to get rid of, but they just like never leave. So we do have increased turnover with that key talent that we really want to keep. We're seeing a lot of increased conflict between groups and also with those of us who are managers. We're having problems with accountability because these different generations see accountability differently as well. Teamwork are some issues. Respect is a huge problem because the different generations view respect differently. And loyalty is another issue as well. And retention is another area. So each of these different generations see things very, very differently. For example, real quick example, my generation, I'm a baby boomer. If we were going to leave a company, we would give a minimum of a 2-week notice before we would leave. With millennial group particularly, if they were to leave a company, if they're not real unhappy with it, they just may just leave the keys on the on their desk with a note on their computer that says gone. And they're gone. No notice at all. And so there's just a really real contrast in how managers have to deal with the four generations. So one of the things that managers need to know is what are the things that you need in managing this these workplace issues? One of them you need to understand is that the old way of managing does not work. You need to have some new skills. You need to learn coaching. Coaching is the number one key that managers today must be very skilled at. It's no longer cracking the whip, playing military sergeant. It's more of a dialogue with employees to drive accountability and drive productivity and to drive the relationships. There are actually 21 different areas that managers need to be aware of, and I just want to touch on a few of them because we only have a little bit of time here. But I do want to touch on a little of them, little of these major areas that you need to be aware of. For example, technology. That's probably a no-brainer, but I just want to start there. When it comes to boomers and traditionalists, we were pretty naive when it came to technology. Our Gen Xers, on the other hand, were aware. They got their first computers when they were in grade school and started in that technology mode, whereas our millennial group is very, very savvy and has started working with computers before they even got into grade school. So there's a huge difference in technology where you have your boomers who might be a little nervous about something new in technology and so may be apprehensive even in starting and learning a new program, whereas your millennial group are saying, yeah, give it to me. I'm ready for something new, which leads into change. As a general rule, boomers hate change. They like things to be consistent. Gen Xers have learned to accept change. And Gen Y group, or the millennial group, has learned to demand change because they've been so used to change. Now, one of the things I want to throw in here is the myth around the millennial and the Gen X group. There's a lot of negative talk around the millennial group. They're not accountable. They are not willing to pay their dues. They're lazy. The world will fall apart once they become into management. I need to tell you that that information was first published back in Life magazine, October issue of 1986. I take that back, 1964, talking about the boomers, that magazine was published again later in the 80s, talking about the Gen Xers. And they've been using the exact same words over and over and over again, no matter what generation you're talking about. In fact, that Life magazine back in 64 actually said that when the boomers got into being CEOs of companies, the companies would fall apart. So I just want to kind of give you a heads up on that one. I want to talk a little bit about the heroes of the four different generations, because this really has a play in our workplace today. Heroes of the boomers were famous actors, famous athletes, whereas the heroes of the Gen X group were people like Michael Jordan. And believe it or not, Mr. Rogers from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, because the Gen X group, 50% of their parents, the boomers, got divorced. And so a lot of these Gen Xers were the latchkey kids, and they wore a key around their necks, and they saw themselves home after school, got their schoolwork started, got their own snacks. And the one constant that was for them on every day was Mr. Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And so Mr. Rogers actually became very comforting to them. And so he became one of their heroes. Now, what's interesting is the heroes for the millennial group, and for the first time, we are not seeing famous people as being their heroes. The heroes for the millennial group is mom, dad, a close family friend, or close family relative. It's the first time in history it's not been someone famous, but someone close. It's also the first time that we have seen both parents, mom and dad, that have been working and raising the children. And why that's important at work is that in the workplace, if you're a manager, you need to understand that the relationship is more important than how important you are in the organization, because they are very relational driven. So that relationship is really, really important. I've also been hearing a lot of complaints from managers as saying, you know, I'm interviewing Joe or Susie, and they want to bring their mom or their dad or their uncle or their cousin or the next door neighbor into the interview. You know, what is it with these helicopter kinds of parents? Well, that's because they're heroes. Our close family, friends, and relatives. So you need to understand that. Sometimes in this, in our workplaces, we're able to bring a kid to work, right? Well, a lot of these millennials want to bring a parent to work or want to bring a family friend to work because it's the relationship driven. So I wanted to give you a heads up on that. The next thing that you need to understand also is college education. But the traditionalists, only 3% of that group were college educated. So they very much were a learn by doing type of society. After World War II, the GI Bill came into play, and the boomer group, about 30% of that group was able to get college educated because of the GI Bill. With our Gen X group, we have about 60% that are college educated. And with our Gen Y group, we're looking at 70% are college educated. And what's really interesting, of that 70%, 54% are going on for a higher degree, master's degree, PhDs. And of that group, the largest number is women who are going on for higher education. So that plays a huge piece in managing the different generations, because they come into the workplace already as a highly educated group, and they expect you to address them and work with them accordingly as if they are an intellectual group. So anyway, we're getting close to a break at this point. Why don't we come back and talk about generations at work after the break, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
We let so many outside factors mold and shape our lives. Technology, instant delivery. We live in an on-demand world. What's happened to the compassion, the kindness, a better pace? Listen to Might Radio with host Gabriella Von Ray. We'll bring that kindness and compassion back to our world. Our guests come from around the world, and we'll discuss what's being done and what we can do to bring our lives back to order. Might Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Is there a real magic formula for success, or is it something more? Does the divine nature within, when activated, become a powerful unified force that catapults an individual to greatness? Join visionary host Sharon Rose Washington, author, empowerment life coach, and energy healer, to explore the answer to the big question of why we are here. She'll have amazing luminary guests ranging from business thought leaders to top celebrities. Tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, and we are with Today's Inspiring Women. And right now I am talking about working with the four generations in the workplace and what you need to know if you are managing the four different generations in the workplace. What I was talking about just before the break was talking about some of the major issues and differences with the four generations. We had talked about technology and change and view of work and heroes and college education. And one of the other issues that comes up often is this whole idea around respect. You need to understand that with traditionalists and baby boomers, the traditionalists were raised in a very military type of format. And so respect for elders was absolutely automatic. And same thing with the baby boomers. You were respected based upon the fact that you were older than the person was, or if you had a title that commanded respect, you were automatically given respect. For example, if you were a manager, or if you were a doctor, a lawyer, or you know, chemist or whatever, you automatically got respect based upon your title. You need to understand that Gen Xers and millennials do not see respect in the same way. Generation X is very, very cautious when it comes to respect. And part of that is some of the things that occurred when the Gen Xer was growing up. For example, the Gen Xers witnessed the Challenger disaster right on TV in school. And so they questioned what was going on. They saw what was happening or not happening with the molestation of children in some of the churches. And so the Gen Xers became cautious around respect. The millennial group is a group that says, you know, respect is important, but you know, you need to respect me too. Respect is a two-way street. So with the millennial group, don't expect automatic respect. You need to understand that they expect you to respect them, and then they in turn will respect you. So there's a definite difference in how each of these different groups see respect. Another one of the major issues that divides the different generations is loyalty to employer. Both the traditionalists and the baby boomers, the traditionalists in particular, were very, very loyal to their employer. It was a cradle-to-grave kind of society. Wherever you got your first job, man, you stayed there until you retired, and you retired with the gold watch and the party and the cake and everyone saying goodbye to you. With the baby boomers, you know, their loyalty is let's work hard and we'll get to the top. The only problem is a lot of baby boomers, when they hit around 40, they were outsized, right-sized, and inside-outsized. And there was a lot of downsizing in our corporations. And some baby boomers had to start a whole new career all over again. And what that did is that influenced the Generation X group, who were the children. So Generation X, when it comes to loyalty, employers are saying, I don't know, I'm going to keep my options open. I'm going to keep my resume ready just in case there's a problem here at work. So loyalty is no longer a given. They're keeping their options open. And the millennial group, you know, the millennial group, the parents of that group are the younger baby boomers. And they're saying, you know, you need to show me loyalty first, because I know if there's a problem, I'm out of here and you're going to find somebody else, or you're just going to downsize and wipe out a department. So they're definitely short term. They may have 6 to 8 different jobs in their work life rather than just 1 or 2 like the baby boomers had planned. So they're definitely short term. You need to show me loyalty first, and then I will think about being loyal to you. The other area that comes into play with managing the 4 different groups is around core values. With the boomers, it was all around personal gratification, around personal growth, and working hard. With our Gen X group, it was all about balance and a life, work-life balance. In fact, what we're seeing in our workplace today around all these work-life balance issues is because the Gen X group has pushed that. And I don't think that's bad, actually, but it's been pushing the work-life balance. And so they look at a company as to being able to work well or hard at work, but also being able to have a time with their families at home, because dad and mom are both working to raise the children. And one of the core values for the millennial group is all around being honest, being real. Don't be phony. And civic duty is important. One of the things you need to understand as a manager is that a lot of these millennial workers, when they were in high school, had already put in hundreds of hours doing civic duty, working, cleaning up the highways, working with the underprivileged, bringing food to the homeless, bringing gloves to the homeless, bringing hats or whatever, working in various different ways in different civic duty opportunities. And the other piece that's really important to them is integrity. If you're going to say something, you need to follow through. Don't say, well, do what I say, but don't follow what I'm actually doing. You need to walk the talk and be genuine in your communication with them. One of the things that managers, as I had mentioned earlier, needs to learn, and that is how to coach your employees. And one of the skills that managers need to learn is how to ask those powerful questions in coaching those employees. And that works for all the generations, but in particularly with Gen X and Gen Y, or the millennial group. We've been raised with the model of directive coaching. And so we really don't know this non-directive form. And the non-directive form of coaching is the asking the powerful questions piece. And asking questions would be, what does success look like for you? Would be an example of a powerful question. What is the process you're going to follow on this project? What obstacles do you think that you might encounter with this project, whatever that project might be? So you're asking those powerful questions, those non-directive forms of questions, rather than jumping and saying, well, this is the way I think you should follow. This is the way I think you should, you know, process that you should be using. So asking those non-directive questions, what's the problem? How do you think you did on this project? How do you think you did on this report? Asking those non-directive forms. Well, I see that our time is just about up here, and I'm getting ready to close. One of the things I wanted to mention is that the Chicago Women's Conference coming up April 19th in 2013 at Willis Tower in Chicago, Illinois. You can again find out about that at 800-881-7809, www.chicagowomensconference.com. And I also want to talk about our premier sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Our premier sponsor is Breaking Boundaries International. Breaking Boundaries International partners with business professionals who want to create strategies for facilitating results, working with executive and personal coaching, corporate training, and inspirational, motivational speaking for your business meeting or conferences. And they can be reached at www.breaking-boundaries.com, and they can be reached at 866-91-COACH. That's 866-91-COACH. I want to leave you with a quote by Judy Garland. And Judy Garland says, or said, be the first-rate version of yourself, not a second-rate version of someone else. I'd like to thank you for joining us with today's Inspiring Women. And until next week, have a wonderful day. This is Deanne DeMarco. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.